Welcome to Nerd Fox Radio. It's a show about nerd love and things nerds love. With Dana Kuhnlein and Danny Shotis, and oftentimes special guest and co-panelist Jennifer Croteau.
Dream interpretation? I don't know why I put dream interpretation in my draft list of things for us to talk about, but I did.
Do you mean, like, dream interpretation as a general topic of, like, things in this world that people do? Or, like, interpreting specific dreams?
I don't know what I meant, so please interpret in the way that is most interesting to you.
I would love to hear people interpret my dreams.
Okay.
I think that that would be nice. I would much rather talk about, like, dream interpretation than astrological signs. Yeah. Like, there's, because for me, there's several dreams, and I mean that in a, like, five kind of context, that I actually remember from my life. Like, the time that I was eaten by, my first dream that I ever remember is that there was, I was surrounded by gorillas. Or no, I was surrounded by large dudes in tan trench coats. Mm-hmm. And they were, like, encircling me. And they had on, like, FBI hats from the 1930s. Yeah, and they were all around me. And they were, like, kind of dancing. And then they threw off their trench coats and they were gorillas. And then they ate me.
Okay.
And I went down their throat. And it was a really, really long throat. This might have taken several minutes for me to go down their throat. But I had a feather with me, and I tickled their throat, and then I woke up. So I don't know what that means. Like, I would love to hear somebody interpret that dream. I think that would be great.
Let me just say that 5 minutes ago when the idea of dream interpretation was presented, I thought that we were going to analyze, like, how when you dream that you're falling, it means you're stressed out.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was signing up for.
Well, Jen is a counselor, so she's officially...
Dreams of...
So...
Just, there's a lot going on there, Danny.
Yeah, so what could be going on? When I was six. Keep in mind, I was six.
What was going on when you were six? Were you stressed out?
I was into dinosaurs.
Okay. Usually dreams like that that are that vivid and involve, like... consumption of something, usually it's like being swallowed up by stress. But let me preface this by saying...
I got swallowed by one gorilla out of 20. I would say 20.
I have no words for help right now.
Yeah, this is why I think it's an interesting subject.
I thought you were
going
to say, I had a dream that I was falling, and what does this mean? But now we've got men with fedoras, trench coats that are really gorillas eating you.
So, I have a friend from college who has a few really amazing dreams. He's quite a somewhat eccentric person, definitely a nerd fox. But he did not grow up going to church, but when he was maybe six or seven, for the first time, he went to church with his mom, and it was the week before Easter when Jesus gets killed. And they talked about Jesus being killed and how it's all your fault. And he had developed a series of recurring nightmares, was that his mother opened the fridge door and Jesus was splayed out dead on the cross on the inside of the fridge door. And his mom started screaming at him, being like, this is your fault.
Damn.
What did you do? Yes, it's very, and it really, is, really you don't
Catholic?
Realize how gruesome the, yeah, the, what, how you would,
Palm
he had,
Sunday,
he had
man.
No, mm-hmm. yeah, Palm Sunday doesn't mess around with this small child psyche. Because, like, they never really talked about church before or after, so he just had this kind of really traumatic bit, like, it was like, oh gosh. Anyway, so that's one of the most fascinating dreams. I have a lot of recurring dreams that, zombies are attacking, or aliens are, and I'm fighting them. And the dream, and it's always very scary. And the dreams tend to end when I start to do really well with the fighting, and I realize that I'm not strong. And I think, like, I had this one dream specifically where I had a baseball bat or something, and these zombies were coming through a window, and I was smashing them, and I was doing a great job, and I was just really whomping the shit out of them. And then I was like,
I don't have any upper body strength. This cannot be real. Why? Yes, yes. And I that kind of came out of the dream. So, anyway, what does that mean?
It sounds really stressful. Yeah. You're stressed out. I feel like that's most of the nightmares.
Yeah.
I always have dreams of fighting cats. And by fighting cats, I mean like hordes of cats are attacking me. With
that's much more difficult
paws.
Than one big cat.
That has to be a lot like what working in a middle school is.
Yes,
actually
it is.
Like
it is very much. But I'll wake up because I'm sitting up in bed going like this, like throwing them in the dream. And I'm like pushing my hands out, sitting straight up in the bed. And that's what wakes me up. But I've had that, I mean, I've had that dream like during every finals week, during every move I've ever made in my life, like big move, like physical moving from one address to another, and it's ridiculous. It always comes back. It's crazy. Crazy. Weird.
Do you have any current dreams, Danny?
Like dreams about currents?
That's also a way to interpret that.
Oh, gosh, I can't remember my dreams anymore. I remember way more of specific dreams from my life than I remember of, like, dreams that happened within the past week.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I've had only one dream that showed up a couple of times in my life. But the scariest dream that I had, it didn't seem as scary, but, like, when I think about it in real life, as a real-life situation, it is quite scary. Is, like, the, it was, like, in the this was before I got into the Civil War, so it was, like, weird. I think we were learning about this war in, class. And it was during the Revolutionary War. And I was, like, a kid who was being impressed into the local militia to fight the Redcoats. And the Redcoats were coming. And I remember, like, this is a general overview. There's a much more specific story to this dream. But I woke up when I heard the, like, rat-a-tat-tat, rat-a-tat-tat, rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat. Of the Redcoats coming, and I saw, and I was hiding in bushes to get away from the people who were trying to give me a gun to fight. And I remember waking up, like, seeing Redcoats coming down the street, seeing people run out of the house, hiding in bushes. Because I guess they had bushes in the Revolutionary War days. I don't know
sure,
if those
yeah.
have been invented
shrubs,
yet.
At least.
Yeah, shrubs. They were shrubs, not bushes back then. And I remember waking up, like, in a cold sweat, and I was just, like, so afraid. I wasn't able to move for a little bit because I was so afraid.
I think there's been a lot of people throughout history who have had that exact experience.
Yeah, it was so scary because
yeah,
it was like a
so
simulation
awful.
Of this exact experience.
Young
people had
boys.
Have. It was a different kind of fear than like being scared of a zombie. I did have a zombie dream recently that I can't remember the specifics of, but was very scary.
Yeah.
But it was like a different kind of fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
so there you have it. Dream Interpretation is a service provided by Nerd Foxes International.
Yes.
Send us your dreams. Bring out your dreams. Send us your dreams. Okay. Okay, next we're going to have... I'm in my facilitator voice.
Felt like it.
Okay. The next part of our meeting, you guys.
Yes. What's on the agenda?
We have a submission from a Nerd Fox that's out in Nerd Fox land, which we need more of these. So please be thinking as you're listening to this, not of what we're saying, but of what you
completely
would.
Ignore us.
Completely ignore us. Sit down and write out what you want us to actually be saying and send it in. So
yes.
That is our request. So Danny's going to get us started with a few tested and tried ways to take nerd foxes to Smoocherville.
We tested this a lot. God, that was creepy.
Research-based.
So I'm doing this first one.
Yes.
Okay. Sit at a bar all by yourself on a Sunday night. Wear something that looks really ridiculous and maybe intriguing, especially if you are also reading a piece of classic literature or philosophy. If there happens to be a person that you think you might be able to convince to smooch you, say something to a person sitting next to that person. Don't have any luck with your target makeout audience for quite some time. And then, on a day when lots of your friends are hanging out, maybe one of them will ask another one if that other one will make out with you.
I love Nerd Fox math. It's good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bizarrely, they sometimes say yes. Just make sure that you and the smoochie know what you're getting into, or else it might be awkward between you for like a year.
Oh, yes. Good points. Good points. Yes.
Good times.
All right. Next piece of advice, guys. Oh, any thoughts? Any thoughts on this before?
I just suggest that you read, like, The Catcher in the Rye. It depends on what your audience is, but I feel like that's a very good, like, rebellious... Ooh. Outside the box.
It's true. I
prostitute friendly.
Prostitute friendly. I feel like it might be especially attractive if your target audience is 16-year-olds.
Well, that's true. Like, which is also illegal.
Oh,
yeah.
Not if you're 15.
Yeah.
But it is. I do like that one. I like that one. I was thinking to bring like an encyclopedia, like a really big one.
Yes. Yeah. A whole set.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Bring a set in a cart behind you.
And a Red Rider wagon.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's hard to say.
A radio flyer.
A radio flyer.
Red Rider.
Oh!
Red
Rider.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's the BB gun that they won in Christmas Story.
Red Rider.
I had a crappy childhood.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Rider.
I just don't think you can read for most of it.
You were so busy thinking about the Civil War. You missed out on wagons.
They didn't have BB guns back then. They only had guns.
Guns. Just
real guns.
Bring your powder musket.
And your ramrod.
And your tin type.
Definitely bring your ramrod, guys. Definitely one piece of
that's what she said.
Okay. So you're all ready to go to the bar. A few weeks before an attractive friend leaves town for good, have them over to your place for dinner and booze. Then, once you're all good and liquored up, suggest that it would be totally fun to listen to the saddest songs you know. Turn up really sad romantic music, preferably operatic arias that are sung just before all main characters die. You and your attractive friend will be a weepy mess and decide to abscond to a nearby bar and get happy again. Then ask to kiss them on the cheek. That'll lead to full, total makeoutville in no time. Fact.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Strategy.
Yeah.
Planning.
I like it.
I like the kissing on the cheek.
That's your first step.
I feel like it could backfire.
Yeah.
If you're too awkward, though. You'd be like, okay.
It's gotta be sweet.
It has to be a peck on the cheek.
Yeah, but I feel like... The problem where it could go wrong is that, like, they're like, okay, you can kiss me on the cheek, and then you kiss them on the cheek, and then you're like, I wasn't really clear that what I actually wanted to do was, like, take all of your clothes off, and all I got permission for was kissing on the cheek, and then how do you go farther than that? I don't know. I mean, sometimes it just happens, and the mood is there, but if it's particularly awkward... Nerd Fox.
You have to
just be like, well, now we have to sit here because we kissed on the cheek. And
what's the next step? Yeah.
And you used up all your courage in the cheek kissing. And you're out of courage for the whole evening.
Yeah,
so then
Nerd Fox is often
sit awkwardly and cry.
Plus, if I'm really drunk, I would try to turn my head. And then, like, we would bump noses and, like, knock each other out.
And then, Nerd Fox
I'd be like, screw this kiss. On the cheek stuff. Yeah.
It's true.
Which is the noise I make, by the way, when I make out.
Make out with a lot of tyrannosauruses.
Yeah, if anybody wants to know.
Yeah, the dinosaurs are really into that.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Really into
it. All right. Cardio.
Okay.
We're right here.
Once you've been totally unsuccessful in finding an attractive nerd fox to tongue wrestle for several months. I got stuck on the cheek there for a second. For several months, write out a plan to find a nerd fox love interest on a big sheet of flip chart paper. Stick the flip chart paper love diagram on your refrigerator. Invite people over. Nerd foxes may see your love diagram and become intrigued with the fact that you are a nerd fox looking for some sweet action. Next step is to be totally oblivious to the signs of interest that poor smitten nerd fox lover is sending you for at least 3 weeks. When you finally get the picture, say in your most confident voice, nerd fox lover? I know this might be totally awkward, but do you want to make out? I think just with that inflection, exactly.
I think the inflection
Oh, yeah, your voice has got to rise.
Yes, it does. It does. And that's what we've got.
I think that's
pretty
really
awesome.
I like the directness of the last one.
Did, yeah,
oh, yeah.
Too.
None of this cheek kissing potential mixed signals.
Yeah.
No.
And the total, yeah, like saying, like, you know, maybe you're going to throw up on me.
Yeah.
And that's okay, you know, but if...
It just delays the makeout.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. That way we can make sure you brush your teeth.
That's true. Yeah.
It's true. It's true.
That's a good point. The throwing up is a good way to, because if you're, like, worried your breath might be bad, then that's sort of an exit for you to be able to go brush your teeth.
Yes.
You know what's sad is I did make out with somebody... After they brushed their teeth, after they threw up.
No, I think everyone's done that.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm sorry.
Have you all done this?
Isn't that required to graduate from college?
Yeah, I thought so.
It's like on the list of things you have to
It wasn't
fulfill.
Marshall, but I didn't know about other schools. Because Marshall's, you know, the Harvard of West Virginia, other than Shepherdstown.
Thanks for throwing that in there.
You like that?
That was respect right
Did
there.
Did you like that? Yeah. So I'm showing you some props there.
Thanks. Yeah.
I always went to the Harvard of my area, except for the ones you guys went to.
Exactly!
Yes. Also the Harvard, where you went to school.
Of whatever state you were in.
Mm-hmm. Whatever, it's the Harvard of whatever school you went to.
Yes. Not for Yale in this situation.
I know. Yeah. It's the Yale of Yale.
Yeah, it's the Yale of Loserville.
Yes.
Oh. Poor Yalers.
Oh, okay. Amazing. So this is a very important segment. We need to hear more advice. You can tell we have not yet achieved NerdFox Nirvana. So please be sending in. You go to nerdfoxy.wordpress.com or NerdFox on Facebook or nerdfox@gmail.com. We will take it all. We're going to have to close that fairly soon.
I have a surprise segment that I want to bring up.
I want to bring in a surprise segment. I want to, in the next segment after the surprise segment, to prepare yourselves, both podcasters and podcastees, is going to be a list of date ideas. So, or things to do on dates. So we're going to come up with a few of those so you can send in your ideas, but also we're going to tell you everything you need to know and you never have to think again because we've informed you. So, Danny, what is our surprise segment?
So, this happened at a holiday party that we had recently here. And it's not so much on the dating side of things, more things that nerds are interested in. And it was a really, really fun party game. And it was draw the state outlines in the United States from memory.
I love doing that.
And me and my friend did this. And I'm holding up a map that a friend did at this party. And we were quite drunk at the time.
Is Washington above Arizona and New Mexico? That might be Nevada.
Let's see. This is Nevada.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's the W. Arizona. The W stands for Nevada.
And the line goes down. The line in the end is also the state outline of that state, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he just continued that for some reason.
That's fair.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So that was a fun party game of, like, seeing how quickly we could draw and how accurately we could draw the state outlines.
For the record, West Virginia is adjacent to Missouri, which is right... Mississippi, which is right under Kentucky. And West Virginia is larger than Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, and Illinois combined.
And so...
So in other words, it's accurate.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And so that's a great party game.
It's also a great game
to play when you're not drunk on the back of receipts.
Wow, Danny just pulled out a map of the United States that he drew.
That is pretty damn pretty.
Which I was holding my wallet. This is a conversation piece.
Yes, yeah. It's very good. Although I will say West Virginia is very, very large on this map as well.
It's a West Virginia. It's an imperial
map. Although
Ohio
is bigger. So look how big Ohio is.
Ohio is ridiculously big.
And it's a good Illinois. Yeah. I like
that. Wow,
yeah, you kind of forgot about Wisconsin.
No, I put it in there. Wisconsin
is not over Minnesota. If you say Minnesota, you know that Wisconsin is next to it. Yeah, they're by each other.
Really?
Yeah, they're kind of like Illinois and Indiana. They share a long border.
I'll be damned.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's okay. You did good.
I learned recently when I was directing
my friend. South Carolina is great.
South Carolina is spectacular. Yeah. Louisiana's rough. But I also put Michigan above Indiana, which is not so much the case. It's above Ohio. Which I recently realized when I was directing my friend through Ohio that you go through, like, Sandusky to get to Detroit, and that seemed really weird. And then I zoomed out of my Google map, and I was like, I'll be damned. That's what they look like.
Yeah, I went to
a them impressive though, man.
Yeah. So I think that's a great date activity.
Oh, drawing the United States from memory? I think that would be spectacular.
And you learn a lot about the person too, you know, for example, probably where they're from.
Yeah. Oh god, our Western states when we were drawing those, like, sucked.
Yeah, my state gap is in New England. Because, and part of it is that it's not even worth it because they're all so small, you can't fit the names of them in anyway.
Yeah, they always have those, like, zoom out on maps, like, look over here to actually see New England. Yeah.
But Vermont is shaped like a V, so that's pretty much, ever since then, I haven't had any problems. Because
Vermont and New Hampshire are so easy to get confused.
Yeah, they
the V,
are.
The V in Vermont.
That's a good rule.
And it's important test too that the person has some basic idea of geography. I find it a little annoying when people don't have at least some basic concept of the outline. I mean, just for me, I mean, it's to build a relationship with that's sort of a thing I would like to have. So, what are other good date activities? I think a great date is to go to a museum, like a science
mm-hmm.
center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's activities.
I agree with that. And just as like a zoom in on that, like in Charleston, West Virginia, there's the Clay Center.
Uh-huh.
And they recently started, I don't know if it was recently, actually, that's what I'm studying. It's like, maybe they've had this all along and I just haven't realized it. But they have like shows of planets.
Yeah.
And they have a show of Saturn recently. And I went with my friend. And it was great. So that would make for a great activity.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
The planetarium would be
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Did they show Uranus?
Oh!
Yeah.
That was good.
But I love
that
planetariums,
really
though. I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Minor league baseball games?
Minor league baseball
That's
games.
True.
Constant.
Cheap.
Yep.
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
See, but I will say, in a group, I could see it going back. The thing about minor league baseball games is that you can default and watch the game and actually attend to the game, but there's not a ton of distractions in case it gets a little awkward. The thing about a science museum is you can always kind of wander onto the next exhibit and like make it's a little cool, but like I can see. I mean, baseball games are pretty long. Like you're really committed.
Oh, yeah.
To like a three couple hours.
Maybe
couple
I'm thinking
hours.
Of like a later date.
A three
this
couple
wouldn't
of hours.
Be like a first
okay.
date. This would be a third or fourth date. I guess I'd say that.
But if it was a group activity and it was like 15, 10, even 5 folks going, and you barely knew each other, it could be a good first date.
Yeah, you have to know that there's like a bond to ask somebody to a baseball game.
Yeah,
there's something there.
Yeah.
Hike is good.
But as a first date.
Maybe.
Because I've thought about that, and, like, I'm kind of asking this woman to, like, walk in the woods with me alone. Like, that seems like almost serial killer.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Well, maybe for a person that you had a relationship of trust with, but not non-romantically.
If it was, like, a friend that was, like, elevating beyond a friend.
Yeah. Or a person that you knew fairly, like, on a certain level, but you never really had a chance to have a nice conversation with them, like you were getting some alone time together, I think that could be good.
Because
it could be pretty romantic, but it can also be pretty neutral, too. I feel like it can... I think it's a good friend date that might be a date.
Yeah.
I think that's good. Hiking is a good...
And it could start off as, like, going... Like, similar to a baseball game, but different than a baseball game. But, like, it could be a group of people where you're with a group, and then, like, you know, we'll start walking slower, and
Yeah, I kind of, you know...
Yeah.
Like a Jane Austen book.
Jane Austen
novel.
Strolling together.
Strolling together.
A timeless strategy.
Separated.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think that's a lot of the romance in the Jane Austen happens when they get some freaking time alone. Impossible back then, but man, it was hard.
Was it?
Well, okay, you had chaperones and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, ladies, you spoiled your reputation.
Crazy.
You were going to die in poverty. Like,
you
know, if you made out with somebody, then it was like, oh, be prepared to die alone in 1 year when you get kicked out in the ditch.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Are you on birth control, or did you ever walk alone with a man? You must be a slut.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in college, it was impossible to get alone with someone to make out with them because everyone had roommates and like all the buildings were camp. So hiking was like one of your options.
Right.
Other dates. Cause it's hard. I actually had someone email me, a couple weeks ago, for date ideas.
they were kind of stuck. I mean, music is always good. And I think especially maybe music that sort of can be more of a cultural experience, like bluegrass music or something that is a little off the beaten path. Go on.
Sorry. And I think, like, for music, that there's different nerd foxes out there, and there's nerd foxes who are, like, nerd foxes about music.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And in that situation, it's, like, there's, like, music where it's, like, background music, and then there's music where you're going, and you're not going to be able to talk to each other.
Right.
You're just going to listen to music. And nerd foxes can totally bond over that, of, like, jamming to really good music, and they're having that experience together, not as, like, an alienating thing, like, where two people are, like, awkward and, like, not... just awkward in a bad way.
It can be, like, more intimate than a conversation.
Yeah, because, like, it's, like, this thing that they share is, like, they're music nerd foxes.
That's the big thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
I think concerts and festivals and all that kind of stuff, like, even if it's, what's the one that we have? The Vandalia Festival down here? Like, you can square dance and everything. So it starts off with something cute, but it can be something a little bit more intimate, too.
Yeah, and the great thing about that is that you're walking around outside in nice weather, and there's, like, lots and lots of conversation starters.
Right.
There's lots of conversation starters.
Yeah, I think that's a good key. It's, like, these, like, the drawing, the map. It's, like, an activity...
Yeah.
It's an activity. I mean, you can just sit and talk with someone, but it's like nice when you have something that's going to create moments.
You can say a little bit more under their soul.
Yeah. Especially on a first date, you need, like, having conversation pieces just pop up, like it would happen at Vandalia Festival or something like that.
Yeah.
It would be key.
Yeah. And then it's, like, a more memorable experience than just sitting around and eating, which I do love to do.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
A favorite activity of mine. And also going to a memorable restaurant, too, like having a unique eating experience can be good.
Yeah.
But it can be bad if the person...
Right.
Or, you know,
like, for a first date, if I was really confident about somebody, maybe ask them for, like, a unique experience, like Hillbilly Hot Dogs.
Hillbilly
if there
hot
was
dogs.
A first date at Hillbilly Hot Dogs... That would be a first date in a marriage.
That's what I was going to say. That is where dating will propose to a woman.
Yeah.
What's the foot-long challenge?
No, it would.
Is that a first date activity?
What?
The foot-long
the
challenge?
The thing they have there? It's not a foot-long
challenge. It depends on what you're referring to.
Good Lord.
Define foot-long challenge.
That's
oh
that's
my
not a good
God,
thing.
That was awesome.
Hey, want to go take a foot long challenge? That's not
going to fly. That's something you have to ask when you're out in the woods.
Yeah,
when you
drug
the person out in the woods.
No.
We're 3 miles from the next human being in the woods. Do you want to go for the foot long challenge?
No, I just want to see your anus.
It's not a foot long challenge. It's a home wrecker.
It's a giant hot dog that you eat, and if you eat the whole thing, you get a T-shirt.
It's $15.
$15.
And it's 3.5 pounds of hot dogs.
Oh my God!
So
that's
and
half as much as my cat.
Yeah, and 3 pounds of it are toppings. No, 3 pounds of it are the hot dog, which is like an Italian sausage, just like 1.5 feet long, and then like there's a huge bun around it. Yeah, and I ate that on a date. But we had been dating for 6 months.
Okay, that's
no,
so
but
like,
it's at a first date, just something to think about.
For a first date?
Yeah.
Yeah, for a first date, I would not I would not recommend doing the home wrecker on the first date.
Well, I like it. What I like about it is, again, the strategy of is can throwing up be a good first date strategy? And if the answer is yes, then the home wrecker may be a good option to throw up. It definitely would increase your chances of throwing up anyway. So
it would, because, yeah.
Okay, well, better date ideas than mine.
Let's see.
Yeah, I had someone. I asked this question, and I instantly forgot all of them.
Would be good date ideas.
Depends on where you live, obviously.
Yeah.
But I've generally lived in... I mean, you live in some places and there's always 10,000 things happening, so you just sort of pick one off the list. But in other places, for example, West Virginia, you kind of got to create your own fun. But see, I do want to say, I'm not a big fan of the movies as a first date, because you just kind of sit there awkwardly and quietly to each other.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't know the person well as a friend.
Unless you're like a movie nerd fox.
Right.
And
right.
then like the movie serves the function of bonding, and then you invest two hours, then like that's the date and they're done. But if you invest 2 hours and then you have a bunch of shit to talk about, because both of you are like, you know, with like
your brains
just going to town about this movie. I could see that being great. But I don't think it's like first date, we're going to like go to, I don't know, like this is how we're going to get together. I don't know.
Out to the movies, which is so overpriced.
Yeah.
But I think, especially like in Columbus, costs a lot more. Yeah. But seeing a movie now at home, renting a movie, can be an excellent first date.
Yes.
Unless it's the wrong movie. I've made out to many a first or second date movie. Bad choices. Top Gun. And Annie Hall were two that were really awkward. So anyway,
maybe
I just want to throw those out
with
there.
Tom Cruise in it.
The first real date I ever went on, I was in 10th grade. That's when Mom let us start dating. And I went out with the senior, and he rented Basic Instinct.
What?
Basic Instinct. And his parents were out of town.
Oh, God.
Basic Instinct.
He had a plan.
And he asked me, in the movie, when the scenes came up, he's like,
Uranus.
He's like, you want to see my home worker?
You want to take a foot-long challenge?
He said, you know what S&M is. And I was like, oh my God, I'm 15. What am I doing?
Wow. Yeah.
Yes, with a Basic Instinct.
Can we just have a moment of silence for how glad we are that we're not 15?
Oh, God, I couldn't survive it again.
I know. Awesome. I would not be 15 again.
No.
No. I mean, maybe if I... Not as my 15-year-old self.
No.
That's what I will say. So, thank you so much for joining NerdFox Radio, a show for nerd love and things nerds love. Today, we shared epic insights into the human condition and the conditions of the multiverse with Danny Leroy Shotis, Jennifer J. Crow Croto, and me, Dana. Good.